It's so grateful to hear words of prayer and dedication to the men and women who have gone on before, who have given their lives and sacrificed for such a worthy cause, such as freedom. It's interesting that tyranny always wants to surface itself throughout all humanity. There is always someone trying to enslave others, and they do so by simply trying to be more powerful than either a person or a group of people. And we see that in our day and time for sure. But the thing is, when people find positions of authority, and I've even mentioned that to Deronda this morning, some people are not able to handle properly the positions of authority. And the fact is, they tend to get puffed up and prideful. And the fact is, they want to be controlling. They want to be powerful over people. And that was so much exhibited in the days of the Hebrew children, back when Jacob had all his sons. And you recall that Joseph had been basically sold into slavery. His brothers, of all people, hated him. I don't know. You could say there was reasons they had to have scuffles in the family, but to do what they did was unconscionable. They wanted to just get rid of him and put him out of their misery, they thought. So anyway, Joseph goes into slavery. And you know the story where he's in Potiphar's house one moment and falsely accused, and then he's in the prison another moment. And God was still with Joseph. And the fact is, that was the beginning, back when Pharaoh elevated Joseph to a high position of power. Joseph was a fair and just man. This is the difference between godly authority and ungodly authority. You got so many people, especially in this country and other countries, where there's dictators and people who are abusing their positions of power just because. And Joseph was a just man, and he saved Egypt at that time. And it was actually a time of where they were very fruitful, because Jacob and all the other family came down. I think it was a total of 70, maybe, in their household, came down to Egypt, and they dwelt there. But over a span of 400 years, think about this, the Pharaoh that came after was not very kind to the Hebrews. And you know what happened. They put them in enslavement and made them work in building all of the infrastructure of Egypt. And so Pharaoh set aside taskmasters. These are people who would beat them. And that's basically how they treated slaves. They beat them into submission. They oppressed them heavily. But then finally God raised up Moses. And Moses came to deliver a message. And this is a message that you heard in this video, and that you're going to hear throughout all of this weekend, because it's a message of freedom. Freedom is the whole theme of humanity, because it's a God-given right for all of us to want to be free. But the Hebrew children, though, went through so much suffering. And after 400 years, all of the generations that came, like immediately right after Joseph, there was a point in time to where nobody really knew who Joseph was, maybe other than name and reputation only. All they knew was what it was like to be a slave. All they knew was what it was like to have to work day in, day out, to fulfill some dictator's dreams. And so God finally had enough. He sent Moses. And you know the story of the plagues that happened to the Pharaoh. Of course, Pharaoh would finally relent and say, yes, I'll let you go. But then he'd change his mind and he'd pull him back. And so he was just constantly back and forth, back and forth. Of course, we know evil forces were at work. God was at work, evil forces were at work, and it was this constant back and forth with Pharaoh until that one fateful night, that one night to when God would send a death angel. And what was going to happen was that an angel would pass through the land of Egypt, And he was going to kill the firstborn of every family. By the way, I believe that would have included the Hebrew children. But he made a way. God made a way. Told Moses to tell them, this is how you will escape that particular night. That if you would take the blood of a lamb without spot, without blemish, kind of a perfect sacrifice, and if you would take that blood, sacrifice the lamb, and if you would take that blood and spread it over the top of your door and on the sides, think about what position that looks like, the top and the sides. What's that remind you of? The cross. But this angel, when he came through at midnight, if he saw that blood of an innocent lamb, he would pass over that house. And it became known as the Passover. It was a very epic event. It was of such great importance that Pharaoh finally let the people go. And they left. And there's lots of rules that was instituted by that Passover lamb. There was a lot of rules that they had to do to follow it. But then this is what the Lord, and by the way, I forgot to actually display this. Sorry. Yeah, I forgot to display that. I'm sorry. But this is what the Lord had said about that special day. In Exodus 12, 14, he said, and this day, this is the Lord talking to Moses, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. You see, God is very interested in remembering things. He, through the years, even after the Passover, through the years, lots of things occurred to where God would institute either a feast or a solemn day, usually a solemn day. They would fast. They would sacrifice animals and whatnot, but they would fast on those special solemn days. Passover would be one of those special days to where God wanted his people to remember what it took to bring them out of bondage. Now, I know a lot of times where we're so far removed from time and history, we don't necessarily realize it. But if you could think back and put yourself in their place, they were oppressed to the point that even if they killed one of them, it didn't matter because the Hebrew children were very prolific. They had more children over and over, and it basically just created more in the labor force. And that was good for Egypt, but it wasn't good for the Hebrew children. So anyway, they were able to come out of Egypt because the Lord performed this wonderful miracle in that it showed how powerful that the Lord was in bringing them out. And it was such a momentous event that he wanted them to remember this for all ages, from that time forward to all ages. And so we think about this idea of oppression, and throughout our history and their history, God's people had to endure a whole history of wars and battles and contingencies, and it's just carried on for all of humanity. We've had to endure wars and battles and all these things. And oftentimes it was because somebody, again, wanted to be dictator over a people. They wanted to enslave them. And you know the fact that at some point, you know, you reject God long enough, the Lord allowed them to be taken over by Nebuchadnezzar. They were enslaved again. And it just continually happened up until the time, even through the Romans, the Greeks, and even prior to that, the Persians, all the time enslaving the Jews. And so there was this constant history in wars. And of course, in our time, that led up to, because of the tyranny and the oppression, it led up to the American Revolution. The American Revolution was all about freedom. There were a lot of people, it's kind of interesting to think about this, but when they were having the conversations as to whether or not to start a new country, there was a lot of people who did not want to do it. They did not want to break away. I guess they were happy in their condition of being slaves to a point because they were under the king's rule. But there was enough people, thank God, that they didn't want to be under that. They wanted to be free. And I love when you look into the preamble. I was actually trying to memorize this, but I want to make sure I say it correctly. In the preamble of our Constitution, it says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You see how even in the very beginning, our Constitution is, at least in the Declaration, it's enshrined to have liberty. All men are created equal, and our Creator has endowed us with these unalienable rights, and one of those is liberty. And so all of these wars that were fought, including the American Revolution, was all about liberty. The fact that liberty is the main theme of many of our holidays, especially Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a special day for especially the United States. It's a day that we essentially were trying to reconcile back from the Civil War. I was actually trying to look up the numbers. In 1862, maybe, or 61, when the Civil War began through 1865, 4 years, we lost over 600,000 soldiers who died. That's not counting all the ones who were wounded and severely injured. But the Civil War cost over 620,000 was one of the numbers I saw. That was more deaths than any of the other wars. I think, I don't know, maybe someone here knows, but I think in the, the World War II, I think it was like 100,000+, maybe. I could be wrong, but I think it was in that range. So you can see how 620,000 would be so much greater. But the war left the country severely divided. And folks, my concern today is that it looks like we're headed that way again. We're such a divided country, not only on religion, but we're divided so much on culture, on politics, and we need a way of reconciliation. Reconciliation is where you bring everybody back together and you try to resolve your differences in a very just and fair manner. But in the Civil War, people still hated each other. But there were many people, thank God, there were many people who were trying to reconcile the South back with the North. Because, you know, sometimes it actually split and divided families. Some families actually divided and fought on different sides of the war, in the Civil War. But after all of those deaths, after the war was ended and the numbers were tallied, people started saying, you know what, we need a way to reconcile. What was the most common thing for everyone was that we had somebody in that Civil War era, we had somebody in our family who died in that war. That was a common starting point. And so people started coming together to honor the people who died. Yes, each side were fighting for their different causes, but they were wanting to honor the dead, the people who sacrificed themselves for the cause that they were fighting for. And so that was the starting point of reconciling the country, was to have what was they called Decoration Day. Decoration Day was when you took flowers and you actually Some families would actually make it an all-day event. They would travel to wherever the graves were and whatnot. They would take flowers. They would actually have meals, picnics, and things like that so that they can talk about and remember, because it was a time to remember, the fallen. And that actually helped. Interesting how that works. It actually helped to bring two divided peoples back together because they were honoring the men and women who fell. And so that's the theme, like I said, of all humanity, is that we need to remember. God set up a time to remember. The Passover was a very special event that happened in history. But then it led up to even more wars and actions that we need to remember and dedicate and honor those who have given their lives for the cause of freedom. And so from 1868, I actually had to write this down, 1868 to 1970, I didn't know this, to 1970, the Decoration Day eventually got changed to Memorial Day because it was to honor all of the wars that had occurred. And this was even back when, I think even while the Vietnam War was still going on. But the fact is, up to 1970, the day for celebration was always May 30th. May 30th. I did not know that. And then actually there were some states that were having it fixed on different days. But the fact is, the majority were celebrating Memorial Day on May 30th. And then in 1971, I don't know what the reason for it was, but in 1971, the legislation changed the date from May 30th to the last Monday in May, which is coming up very soon. And so from that time forward, it always became that. And still, some states today celebrate it on May 30th. Regardless of what day it falls on, it celebrates on May 30th. But the fact is, it's a time to remember. And so we remember the fallen dead. We remember the sacrifices that they gave, not only to their families, but to this country, because they fought for our freedom, for our freedom. And they gave the ultimate sacrifice. But you know, we can't even talk about all of that without mentioning the fact that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice. The fact is, throughout all of that history, another specific Passover occurred, going on 2,000 years now. And that particular Passover was again to sacrifice an innocent lamb. Jesus Christ would become that spotless, without blemish, sacrifice. But this time, it wasn't for just a one-time thing. It was, or for a one-time event for certain people. It was for all humanity. Even Jesus said, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." And if you don't know that freedom, I would urge you to think about what Jesus has paid for you. He has joined all of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, with the major difference is that He rose again. He rose again to show that He had power, power over death and the grave. And therefore, as you heard in the video prior to the sermon, was we will be able to meet them again. We will be able to meet all of the relatives and people that we may know, even if we're not related to them, people we may know, friends, and who have lost their lives in these wars, we will still be able to see them again. But you know, it takes that final act of giving your heart to the Lord. And so many of our soldiers, they gave their selves, their lives, their hearts, to a cause that was greater than themselves. And that's something that might be difficult for some of us to understand. I have no idea what it's like to be in an actual battle, a firefight, to where you don't know at any moment you may not be seeing tomorrow. I don't know what that's like. I don't want to know what that's like. But the fact that people were willing to go into these battles and fight for our freedom is something I think we need to honor and remember. And so Jesus had said himself, or actually this was in John, I'm sorry. John had said this. He wrote in John 15:13, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now he was, actually those are the words of Jesus. That's coming out of the Gospel of John. And Jesus even told, he looked upon his apostles and he said, "And you are my friends." And by extension, he's saying the same thing to us, that you, every one of you in this room, are his friends. He's laying his life down for you. And so as we remember that, I want to pay one last honor and dedication to the men and women who have fallen for the service of this country to keep us free and to help us to continue to live as free people. And may God grant all of us that continued freedom, that sometimes I feel that in this day and time it's beginning to erode little by little, and that evil people are attempting to enslave all of us once again, maybe not in chains, but at least by control, to control where you go, what you do, and what you buy. They're trying to control every aspect of your life. So let us remember all of those men and women who died to protect us from this. And may also we stay vigilant and watch for these things. Because when the scripture says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Would you please stand and let's give one last honor today. And as the singers would come, let's watch this next video and contemplate the meaning of what it stands for. Now, Father, bless us today with remembrance of all of the people who have given their lives for the cause of freedom. And Lord, help us to remember that Jesus Christ also gave his life for our freedom, that we may give our hearts and lives back to him, for we owe him everything. In Jesus' name, amen.